Let's all take our hymnals this evening and turn together to number 256. 256, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Let's lift our voices together and praise to God for His salvation. 256. Stanza together, and then following that, the Ambassador Choir will be singing for us. So when you sing, watch me and sing instead of watching them. They'll get on the platform very well by themselves, and then we'll enjoy their ministry and song too. All great compassion. That last stanza, please. Thank you. Thank you, folks, for that good reminder for us. Listen for the trumpet. Jesus is coming. Let's take our hymnals once again, this time turning to 292. 292, the Bible stands like a rock undaunted amid the raging storms of 292. Shall we stand, please, to sing? On that second stanza, please, ladies, join us when we get to the chorus. Seated, please.
Open your Bibles, if you will, if you still need to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 and 11. Our memory verses for this month, we'll say the reference, the verses. Okay, all together. 1 John is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be for our sins. God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 1 John 4, 10 and 11. We're very glad you're here this evening, as you can imagine. Particularly, we're glad that those of you who are visiting with us have come. We want to wish you a special welcome and ask you to look in the pew rack in front of you, perhaps right in front, a little to the left, a little to the right, but there in the pew rack, there's a visitor's card. If you would fill that out for us, we would very much appreciate that record of your visit. And we would love to return the favor and come and visit you. If you don't want us to come visit, just say, don't come visit, and we won't. But we would love to have that record of your being with us. And thank you so much for coming.
Next Sunday evening, the teens will have a parent appreciation fellowship. And I've been noticing that the teens are somewhat hesitant to sign their parents up. I assume this is because they have just forgotten. And so that's why I'm taking this opportunity to make this announcement for the teens. Now, parents, if your teens have decided that they do not appreciate you and that they're not going to buy you tickets for this fellowship, you are welcome to buy your own. Youth council members are out in the ministry mall after the service tonight and then before and after the service Wednesday night. And those tickets will be on sale then. Also, one thing I would like to mention is that the teens are invited to this. Of course, teens treat it just like a Thanksgiving. Bring a dollar, and we'll buy pizza for you, even if you're involved in the program. And teens, especially guy teens, we need some more of you for the chorus, which we'll be singing for your parents next Sunday evening. So if you could, come to our practice, which will be Wednesday night at 5:30. We'll go out and get something to eat real quick. And then we'll practice. Also, Saturday night, we'll have another practice. Bible study. Saturday is our final Bible study as far as the book of James goes. And so if you have been involved in our Bible study at any point along the way, this would be a good one because we'll wrap everything up. We'll take the whole study that you've been doing so far and try to put some finishing touches on it. So teens, if you've been coming to this Bible study, if you've only come to one, please come on, and we'd love to have you. That'll be Saturday at 10 o'clock.
team from Carriacou is returning this week and needs somebody that would drive to Atlanta to pick them up Tuesday at 8 o'clock. If anybody could do that for us, please go by the reception desk and leave your name and your telephone number. Hope you'll look at the announcements that are in the bulletin, particularly that one that has to do with the Family Missions Breakfast coming up the first Saturday in March. Give attention to that. Hope all of our families can come. Of course, you don't need to come as a family, but that means it's open to everybody, and we look forward to that every year. Still time for you ladies to join the ladies' Bible study of the tabernacle on the Wednesday mornings. That's gotten off to a good start, but they have room for more ladies to come and share in that time. And then remember, the ladies' visitation has been moved now to Wednesday at 1 o'clock instead of Tuesday morning. Hope you'll go by the maps out in the ministry center and pick up some of those new move-ins to visit this week. Thank those of you who are doing that. And again, trust that more will do it, or we can cover those new move-ins every time we get a new batch of them, that we can put those up and they'll be picked up and the visits will be made. Wednesday evening, about a business meeting, also check that announcement. Hope you are getting through the New Testament, either by reading it or listening to it or a combination of the two. Mentioned this morning that if you're on the schedule of 12 minutes a day, you should be through Acts chapter 24 by today. If you're doing it three chapters a day, you should be through 1 Corinthians. But whether you're ahead or behind, I trust you're doing it and that we can have a good number of our folks finish up the New Testament by the end of March. And we'll keep reminding you about that. Prayer request. The aunt of Virginia Mears and Elizabeth Gilbert. She was also a sister of Mr. O.E. Brown, one of our charter members who passed away a short time ago. This aunt passed away yesterday, and we're asked to pray for that family. I want to also remember Wayman Harrison's family, as his sister, Mrs. Frances Ray, passed away yesterday. And let's keep on praying for Jim Martin's family, that the Lord will undertake for them. Debbie Payne will be having major surgery tomorrow. Please pray for that. Harry Hardiman had a knee replacement surgery. He was able to be here this morning, and we're glad for the progress that he's making. Martha Vanderveen is still in the St. Francis Family Hospital. Elsie Nicolo has been in Roger Peace, and she'll be going home on Tuesday. Linda Johns was in the hospital, and she's now at home, and we're glad that she's able to be there. So pray for these and others who are in need of our prayers from a standpoint of physical needs. We always have many who are afflicted in one way or another with illness, having surgery, something of that nature, and means so much to these people when we pray for them. And this morning I was talking about encouraging one another, and I don't know anything that encourages other people more than when they know we are really praying for them. We're lifting them up before the throne of God. The ushers are going to come in just a moment to receive your offerings, and thank you for your faithful giving. And remember, we have a goal of $1.3 million for the beginning of our activity center. We believe we're going to receive that by that amount. But that's only about halfway there, and we'd like to receive the rest of it throughout the course of this year. So be praying about that. Ask the Lord what He'd have you to do in it. We'll ask the ushers to come and get in place. Pastor Lehman will lead us in our prayer.
Lord, we thank you that you have given to us the privilege of assembling ourselves. You've given us not only that privilege, but a command that we're not to forsake that opportunity. For through that opportunity, we grow, we become more Christ-like. We're reminded of areas where we fail. We're encouraged upon areas that we are seeking within human means to do all that we can to please you. So I pray that this evening, as we're here, as the privilege of singing praises to you has already begun, and we have another opportunity. As your word is played for us, as it's sung to us, and then as Pastor Yerrick preaches, I pray that throughout this entire service, all that is done would bring honor to you, and would bring conviction and challenge to us. And then we think of these needs of our very special friends, our church family, and the extension of that, we think of those that have recently lost loved ones. Ask that you would be near and dear to them, continue to be with the different ones that not only are immediate family members, but are their very close friends, and other opportunities that have been around surrounding that individual's life, that you'd really use this time to bring honor to you and an encouragement to the family. We also think of those that have already undergone surgery in this past week and are recovering. We pray that you would give healing and mending to their physical bodies. We also pray that you'd be with those that in this next week are anticipating surgery or procedures, that you'd again comfort them, encourage them. And we thank you for how your grace and peace is able to sustain us in these times. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And as we anticipate this time of worship, of bringing our tithes and offerings before you, I pray that you'd allow these funds to be used and multiplied to bring honor and glory to you, not only here in Greenville, but around the world. And for that, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We would like to say a special word of thanks this evening to the folks in the string group for their beautiful offertory for us in the service tonight. Let's sing unto the Lord once again by taking our hymnals and turning to number 38. Number 38, How Great Thou Art. We'd love to sing that song. We want to put our voices together and lift them in exaltation of praise to the Lord. Number 38, shall we stand to sing? Stanza with just the voices, and the instruments will join us when we get to the chorus. And when I think.
Who may be listening by radio, this is a service from Hampton Park Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. After the men's group comes and sings for us, Pastor Yurick will be bringing our message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have assembled together this evening as you've commanded us to do. Now we ask that those things which you have told us will work into our lives when we do this, that that's exactly what will happen. And as we continue to listen to the music based upon your truth, and as your word is preached to us, and as we continue to sing and participate, O Lord, may this not be a time when we just get together in a group and sit and enjoy, but may it be a time when we enjoy as you work in our hearts to make us different for you. We pray that you'll do these things because we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, men, for your ministry to us this evening. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, for our scripture. I'll begin to read with the 25th verse. Luke 14, verse 25. And there were great multitudes with him, that is, with Jesus. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Those are strong words from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ regarding those of us that would follow him and be in that group to be considered disciples of Christ. Does God expect too much of us? We're mere human beings. Does Jesus expect too much of us who would be his followers? Some people think he does. And this is not a new attitude. There were times when Moses thought that God expected too much of him as God chose him to bring the children of Israel out of the slavery that they were in Egypt. And we talked about that last Sunday morning. But let's look at the Exodus chapter 5 for a few examples of this. Exodus chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. This is after He had gone into Pharaoh and told him, let the people go. And Pharaoh said he wouldn't let them go. And he began to afflict the Israelites even more. And it says in verse 22, Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Lord, you're expecting too much of me. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. You sent me down here to bring them out, and you're not doing it. You're not helping me. You're not bringing it to pass. I turn to Exodus 17 over a few pages, looking at verse 1. This is after they're out of Egypt and all the congregation of the children of Israel. This is Exodus 17:1. Journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Don't you think Moses' hard attitude there was, Lord, you expect too much of me. Brought the people out here, and now they're going to die of thirst. Turn over to the 11th chapter of Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. Looking at verse 10. Numbers 11:10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. Lord, you're expecting too much of me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Moses, not one time, but a number of times, must have felt that God was expecting too much of him. Job undoubtedly expected that, or thought that God expected too much of him. When God allowed Satan to put him through the trials that he went through, first the loss of his family and of his flocks and his herds, then the loss of his health, and then the lack of sympathy on the part of his wife, and then his friends coming and insisting that he must have done something terribly wrong in order to be experiencing what he was experiencing. And Job certainly felt that God was expecting too much of him because he was putting him through, or allowing him to be put through, all of these trials and all of these difficulties. Jonah thought that God expected too much of him when he sent him to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't love the Ninevites. They were enemies. Why would God send him there? And we know what Jonah did. He ran in the opposite direction. All the time he must have been saying on the inside, God expects too much of me. God has given me a greater burden than I can bear. God is asking me to do that which I don't want to do. I rebel at it. Over in the New Testament, we have the story of the young ruler who came to Jesus and asked him what good thing he had to do to inherit eternal life. And remember, Jesus, after talking with him about the commandments, said, well, go sell all you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. And it says the young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was saying, Jesus expects too much of me, that I would give away all I have. I don't know if he earned this money for himself, whether he had inherited it from his father, but it was more than he was willing to give up in order to follow Jesus, as Jesus asked him to do. And Demas must have thought that God expected too much of him. When he left Paul, Paul said that Demas had forsaken him because he loved this present world. Demas was a saved man. He knew the Lord, but he still had a hankering for the world. And he was saying, God expects too much of me. And there are other illustrations we won't consider anymore. But there are other illustrations in the Bible, other examples in the Bible of people who thought that God expected too much of them. And if we would be completely honest, haven't we felt that way at times? That God expects too much of us who have decided to follow Him? Maybe it's a husband and wife who are settled in their home, settled in their community, settled in their church, settled in their vocation. And God lays a burden upon their hearts to forsake all of that, maybe to go to school, to prepare themselves for the ministry or prepare themselves for some other way in which they serve the Lord. I mean, everybody has a ministry. I'm talking about the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And they finally decide, we've got to do this. This is what God wants us to do. We need to sell our house. We need to move to go to school, or we need to move somewhere else to do something for the Lord. And they go and tell their children, kids, God is leading us to move. What? We're going to move from here? We're going to move from this house where we always have lived? We're going to have to leave our school? We're going to have to leave our church? We're going to have to leave our friends? And how often do children respond, God expects too much of us? Or maybe it's a young person has the call of God upon their life, and it may be to go off to some far off place, some foreign field or somewhere far from home to serve the Lord. And they go and share that with their parents. And the parents, even though they're Christians, say, well, we know that there has to be missionaries and there have to be people who are willing to go. But doesn't God expect too much of us for us to give our children to do that? And so there are many ways in which we feel that God expects too much of us. Maybe it's an extended illness with extreme pain. We say, God expects too much when He asks me to bear this pain. Or maybe it's the loss of the dearest person on earth to us. God takes them out of our lives and God takes them out of this world. And we think, at least we think it, God, it's too much. You're expecting too much of me. It might be a lesser thing. Maybe it's as small as giving a tithe of what the Lord has given to us. And I've had people tell me that God expects too much. He expects me to give a tenth of what I earn to Him and to His cause. Maybe it's just getting out of bed on Sunday morning. Get to Sunday school and church. Some Christians say God expects too much. Here are my neighbors. Now they're able to stay at home in bed. And they go out after I go to Sunday school and they pick up the morning paper and they go back and they have a cup of coffee and a leisurely breakfast and they just enjoy the morning at home. And here I am going off to Sunday school and church, and I'd like so much to do that. God expects too much of me. So there are many times that thought comes to us. When we carefully consider all that God has done for us, how can we ever think that God expects too much of us? He has given us life. He is our source of life. He sustains our life. We're alive today because God is sustaining our lives today. He's the one who keeps us alive. Oh, I know He uses nourishment. He uses rest. He uses doctors when we're ill. He uses medicine, many things. But really, it's God that sustains us and keeps us alive. And He has provided more than ample resources for our sustenance in this world. All of us here tonight really have more than what we need to be alive. I saw a picture last evening, I think it was in the newscast, showing people in Afghanistan crowded into tents. There are tens of thousands of them. They have no heat. They don't have warm clothing. They have little water to drink. They have no food. And they're huddling in these tents, as many as they can get into the tent, to hope to find some body warmth to keep them during the night. None of us are in a situation like that. God has provided, and I'm talking about us here and in America, more than we need to keep us alive. He has secured eternal life for us by giving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preparing for us an eternal home in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. And in the meantime, He daily loads us with benefits. Psalmist said, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us, weights us down with all of the benefits that He has for us. So how can we say, when we consider these things, that God expects too much of us? A better question would be, do we expect too much of God? Do we expect too much of God? It's a question that has a two-pronged answer, yes and no. When we expect God to wink at our sin, just overlook it, then we're expecting too much of a holy God, because He is unable in His holiness to wink at sin. Sin has to be dealt with, and Jesus provided our way out of sin. But how many in the world today are neglecting to accept the forgiveness of sin that Jesus has provided, with the idea that God is just going to overlook it? We're expecting too much of God, and we think God overlooks our unconfessed sin as Christians, that He forgets about the sins that we have committed as believers. He puts them out of His mind. Now, God does forget our sin when we confess it and put it under the blood of Jesus Christ, but that's the only way He can do it. Otherwise, He is mindful of that sin, and He keeps the record of it. And while you and I as believers will not lose our salvation because of unconfessed sin, we will lose rewards and commendation when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. When we expect God to do for us what He has given us the ability to do, we're expecting too much of Him. Would you turn to Colossians chapter 3, New Testament book of Colossians, chapter 3. Looking at the fifth verse, where Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then look at verse 8, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. And then look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. God didn't say, I'll do this. He said, you do it. You put to death these things. You put off anger, malice, and the other things. You put on vows of mercies and kindness. Now we have to have God's strength to do it. And God provides the strength for us to do it. But God isn't going to automatically do what He tells us to do. Sometimes we hear that phrase, let go and let God. And there are certain times we have to let go and just let God have His way. But here, through Paul, the apostle, he's saying, you put to death, you put off, you put on. God's not going to do that for us because He tells us to do it. And trusting in Him for the strength and the ability to do it, we'll be able to do it. But we can wait and wait and wait on God to get rid of these things or to help us to put on these other things. And it won't happen. When we expect God to be pleased with our doing less than our best, we expect too much of God. He said that those who give a cup of cold water in His name will in no wise lose their reward. And that's fine if all we have to give is a cup of cold water. But if we have a gallon to give, or 10 gallons to give, or we can give a whole reservoir, then God's not going to be pleased with a cup. He's saying, if that's all you have, if just a cup of water I placed within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But if He has placed more than a cup, God's not going to be pleased with us just giving a cup and sharing a little cup when we have so much more in reserve. We expect too much of God when we expect Him to excuse our lack of dedication and our lack of obedience to His Word. But then the answer is no. We don't expect too much of God when we rely completely upon Him for our salvation, which is what so many folks in our world are doing. They're relying on themselves, they're relying on others who went before them. They're relying on ritual and ceremony and all kinds of things instead of relying completely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we cast ourselves upon Him like a doctor casts himself on a doctor when he is sick and he cannot help himself, so God delights in us casting ourselves upon Him and trusting wholly in Him and only in Him for our salvation through Jesus Christ. We cannot expect too much of God when we seek to live in submission, or we don't say no here to that question, when we seek to live in submission to His will and obedience to His commands. When we actively seek to make Him known in this world. When we trust Him to meet our needs. When we believe that He will keep His promises. None of these things are expecting too much of God. He delights in these things. Our trusting Him. Our living in submission to His will. Our active seeking to make Him known to others. To trust Him to meet our needs individually and collectively. And when we dare to believe His promises, that they are true. We never need fear that the God who has made us, who has engifted us, who indwells us, who empowers us, who knows our load limit, who wants only His best for us, will ever expect too much of us. He never will. And if we're expecting only right things for God, we can never expect too much of Him. And it may be in a lot of cases where we don't expect enough of God. We fail to regard Him as the God of all power and the God of all might and the God who is the God of the impossible. So maybe our problem is not expecting too much of God, but not expecting enough of Him. He wants us to put Him to the test. He wants us to dare to believe in Him and trust in Him for all things. Remember what Paul said? God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And then he added to that, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Think about that doxology, that he is able to do not just abundantly, but exceeding abundantly, not just for all that we ask, but above all that we ask, and beyond that, all that we dare to think. And it's according to the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word of God that worketh in us. Does God expect too much of us? No, He doesn't. He expects a lot of us. Not for getting our salvation, not for earning it, because, as I said, we don't do that. But once we've accepted God's gift of salvation, He has high expectations for us. So are we meeting God's expectations as followers of His? Look back again at that scripture in Luke just before we close. Luke 15, or 14. Just think on these words for a little bit. If any man come to me, hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters. Now, he's not talking of hatred as we think of hatred, but that our love for Christ will be so great that our love for our human family will be hatred in comparison. And his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What did the cross cost the Lord Jesus Christ? It caused him great suffering. It caused him rejection. It caused him humility. It cost him his own will to do the will of the Father. Can bearing the cross of Christ today demand any less of us? It won't come to us in the same degree that it came to the Lord Jesus. Some of you have suffered in one way or another because of your willingness to follow Christ. Some of you have had to humble yourself to follow the Lord Jesus, to be a willing servant of His. Some of you have been rejected by family and friends because you decided to become a Christian and follow the Lord. And Jesus said, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then verse 33 again. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Have you met God's expectations as far as salvation is concerned? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ and taken Him as your personal Savior? But having done that, are you now meeting God's expectations for you as a believer? Salvation is free, it's a gift, but there is a price to following the Lord and being His disciple. Are we meeting God's expectations in those areas? Let's pray. Lord, forgive us of often feeling like You expect too much of us. We're no different than Moses when it comes to that. Or of Job, or of Jonah, or of the young ruler, or of Demas. We're human. We're sinful humans like they were. We often think the load is too heavy and Your expectations are too high. But Lord, help us to be willing to forsake all, to follow Thee, to perform, to do Your work. Now, Your first expectation for us is in receiving Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And Lord, if there are some with us tonight or some listening who have not met that expectation, help them to know there is no other way through Jesus and Jesus alone. Some have heard that hundreds of times and they still have not trusted Christ. Maybe someone's hearing it again for the umpteenth time. And right now your Holy Spirit's getting through to them like He never has before to help them realize that Jesus is the only way to be saved. Then, Lord, may we ask ourselves if we're meeting Thy expectations as Your followers. We believe Jesus meant these words when He said them. That He has to be first. And everything else has to be secondary. Lord, if we're holding on to anyone or anything or any place, help us to be willing to forsake that in order to follow Jesus. Thank You, Father, for saving us and giving us salvation as a gift. And then we thank Thee for allowing us to follow Thee and to be Thy servants. I pray tonight for any who have not trusted Christ or any believers who have not given their all to Thee and never made that surrender, that yielding of their lives to Thee, that they would do so tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. In a moment, we're going to sing a song of invitation. And if you haven't met God's expectations for salvation, when we sing this song, we invite you to come and meet one of us here at the front. And we'll go to a quiet place with you, or someone will go to a quiet place with you. And there take the Bible and settle this matter of your eternal destiny. Just think, right here tonight in this service, you can have the matter of your eternal destiny settled if you haven't done that. Now, of course, it's already settled if you haven't accepted Christ, but you can change that by accepting Him. If you're a believer and you realize in your life you're not measuring up at all to God, I encourage you to come and kneel here at this altar, or if you want somebody to pray with you or counsel with you, we'll be glad to do it. We dare not take God's word lightly. That's expecting too much. Let's heed His word. Let's follow His leading. Father, thank You for Your blessing in Christ's name. Amen. Let's turn to number 389. 389, let's stand as we sing together. You know what the invitation is? We encourage you to come as we sing. 389. Second stanza, would you walk with the Lord in the light of His word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, your all you must lay. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and just ask the choir to sing another verse or two. If you're not sure of your relationship to God through Jesus Christ, make sure of that tonight. If you're unhappy as a Christian, and you know you're not following God's will for your life, decide to do that tonight. Come here. Kneel here. Or maybe you've already done that, and yet you haven't fulfilled that surrender that you made, and you need to recommit yourself to the Lord. We have those who are here who are not members of our congregation. You believe the Lord would have you to be a part of this ministry here. We invite you to come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed as the choir sings. You follow the Lord. Father, we read in your word about the crowns that await those of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus and who serve Him. But help us to realize before the crown there comes the cross. The more willing we are to bear the cross, the greater will be the crown. Jesus bore the cross before He wore the crown. I pray that as we go out tonight, somehow you'll allow us to take with us some of the thoughts been expressed here this evening. Help us to consider this question carefully. Does God expect too much of me? Am I expecting too much of Him? Or am I not expecting enough of Him? And wherever our paths lead us this week, I pray that they'll intersect with sinners. That you'll lead us to the unsaved. And you lead the unsaved to us. We might have the opportunity of being a witness and a testimony. Lord, that folks will come to know Jesus Christ as Savior because they come in contact with folks from this congregation this week. Thank you for the blessings of today. Ask thee to watch over us now as we go our way. In Christ's name, amen. This last song is a song of testimony, and I hope it's your testimony. Number 635, I have decided to follow Jesus. We'll sing the first and last verses, and with that we'll be dismissed. 635, verses 1 and 3.